Now,
the just shall live by faith.
The just
shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have
read
no
that again.
But if any man draw back, my soul
read that again.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
So you may stop there. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The gospel of Jesus Christ not only speaks much on the subject of backsliding, that's what drawing back there means. So I start again. The gospel of Jesus Christ not only speaks much all through the gospel on the evil, on the terrible consequences of backsliding, but while speaking on the subject, the Bible warns Christian that once you have set out, having made a commitment to Jesus Christ, it should be a lifelong commitment. When one comes to Jesus Christ, it should never be that, well, if it doesn't work out, such and such. No. You must make a commitment that with the help of God, it has to work out. If any man draws back, the Bible speaks on one of the terrible consequences for any man or woman having taken up the cross and then walk away. Jesus Christ did not pull a fast one or tricks any man or woman to follow him. In the business commercial world, the men and women trying to sell a product sometimes can carry off a fast one on us. That's a common thing all over. Buying a car, buying a house, buying a piece of clothing, buying a piece of land, buying a ring, I don't know if they are still about the place, but years ago when downtown was downtown, you always have these guys selling jewelry and pull you in a little corner and tell you this is 14 karat gold. And let me tell you, when you look on it, it really looks so pretty. It must be gold. But by the time you buy it and take it home, you realize it's not gold. There are people who are always trying to pull a fast one on us or to trick us. Jesus Christ does no such thing. In encouraging men and women to follow him, to commit their lives to him, Jesus Christ at all times is above board and on the table. All time. Neither should the church try to pull a fast one on any man or woman. We should never trick anybody in any form or shape to become a child of God. Our duty is to, in love, let men and women know what the truth about Christianity is. You know, a lot of times we can be so eager to convert that friend, that relative, that family member, that we curtail the truth of Jesus Christ to get them baptized. But you don't make a Christian out of any man or woman when you infringe upon the truth of the gospel. We must, I repeat, in love, make plain what the demands and the condition of the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ present would be followers of his with the cross, with all of its weight and all of its splinters. I repeat, Jesus Christ present to would-be followers of his, the cross, letting them know how heavy the cross is, and letting them know that there would be splinters from the timber that make up the cross. All sort of trickery, as I've said, entertainment and fanciful attraction are used today to draw men and women to man-made religion. People are enticed by the entertainment that so many so-called churches present to people. In fact, so many times, the entertainment that they present in worship much, much outweigh the aspect that can be called worship. Worship is not about entertainment. It is about giving God the reverence, the honor, the glory, the worship that he deserves. And may I add this? Only God can tell us how he is to be worshipped. You must remember that. It's not something you imagine. It's not something you guess. It's not something you cipher out. You have to go to God's revelation to learn how he wants to be worshipped. So that means we have to study the Bible. But in the denominational world, entertainment, fanciful attraction are used to draw men and women to these religions. But Jesus Christ, in inviting men and women to himself, Jesus Christ pulled no punches. He was totally above board, and he did so at all times. When we meet a would-be Christian, we strive to encourage that would-be Christian. Nothing wrong with that in encouraging men and women to become Christian. But Jesus Christ, remember what I've just said, that when we meet, when we are trying to lead a man or woman to Christ, our emphasis is on encouraging. And that is okay if we keep it straight and right. Jesus Christ approached would-be convert in a little different ways. That's right. When Jesus Christ approached the would-be Christian with inviting them to himself, Jesus Christ put forth to them the challenges and the responsibility of the cross. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
That as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him.
A certain man said unto him.
Lord.
Lord.
I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
I will follow you wheresoever you go. Isn't this wonderful? Huh? I've had a few experiences in life where I'm right here, and somebody, I remember one case, young lady just walk up, knock the door. I open. Can I help you? Yes, sir, I would like to become a Christian. No, I should be glad, and I was glad, but it knocked me for six. You just come like that wanting to become a Christian? Yes. Wonderful. But as I've said, you started not looking for that. Person was called in. And by this, the person, because for a moment, I wonder if the person was right up here with timidity, I invite a young lady in the office, and we sat and talked. Very intelligent person. The person was a teacher. Not only did she got baptized, but she remained faithful, a child of God. I believe her teaching work took her in rural Jamaica for some time. So what I'm saying, we do have people seeking for the truth. Jesus Christ just met a man. Master, I want to follow you wherever you go. Great. Jesus Christ speaks as if he's discouraging the man. That's how above board Christ is. Read on, brother.
And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head.
Now, brothers and sisters, here, the person speaking is he to whom everything on this earth belongs. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That means the earth, not only the earth belongs to Jesus Christ, but everything that fill it up. And Jesus Christ said to this man, the foxes have holes. You want to follow me? Jesus Christ is saying to this man, count the cost. Look on the responsibility. Look on the challenges. The frogs have hole to run into. The birds have nests. If you are going to follow me, I don't have a stable place to put my head when night comes. Do you still want to follow me? That's how Jesus Christ treat would be followers. Remember what we are discussing, drawing back. Wait now, when a man or a woman become a Christian, understanding that there are challenges and responsibility to following Christ, that person will make a better Christian. I've had this situation where I'm trying to convert a person. I remember one case, this person, entire family was a member of the church. Her brother, her mother, her niece, faithful members. And she had shown some interest. But there are certain lifestyle of hers that was in conflict with Christianity. And she wanted to know if she have to give that up. And I never forget, because some of these things you are wiser at the end of it. It's almost, that was 18 years ago, it's almost as if I'm saying, well, yes and no. And then afterward I said, you know, yes, you have to give it up. There's no halfway thing about it. If the thing is in contradiction to the will of God. Read on, brother.
And he said unto another.
Jesus Christ said to another.
Follow me.
Follow me.
But he said.
The one, this is another person, you know. This person to whom Jesus Christ said, follow me. Responded to Christ in these words.
Lord. Suffer me first to go and bury my father.
What's wrong with that? That's a legitimate request. Huh? My daddy died. Just give me the chance to go and bury him. Read, brother.
But Jesus said unto him. Let the dead bury their dead. But
wait, brother. I remember years ago, William Barclay, the English theologian, he has a set of commentary. And in one of them, he said, Jesus Christ makes the demand of Christianity so high, it cannot be made higher. You have just seen an example here. Master, Jesus Christ said, follow me. The would-be convert said, yes, I am willing to follow you. I just need permission from you to go and bury my dead father. Jesus Christ said,
let the dead bury their dead.
You don't have time to go and bury your dead daddy.
But go though.
Wait. You all got it? You think Jesus Christ was exaggerating here? No. He was telling us and pointing out that the privilege of following him carries awesome responsibility. Christ was not trying to discourage the man. Jesus Christ just wanted the man to count the cost, to understand what he was getting into. Read on, brother.
But go thou and preach the kingdom of God.
You don't have time to bury your dead daddy, you have a greater responsibility to go and tell others about the Almighty God, about Christ your Savior. That's right. And Jesus Christ was unapologetic. You see, we would be trying to explain ourselves. And you know, I said that because of, no, Jesus Christ, you spell it plain. That's how you make good followers. When you give them the cross with all of its splinters, giving them the chance to examine whether they want to be a follower of Jesus Christ or not. You don't have time to go and bury. My God, it's my father I'm talking about, sir. Yes, but you don't have time for that. There is a more urgent responsibility. What verse is that? Read on, brother.
And another also said.
That's the third character, you know. May I? You're reading from the book of Luke, the physician. Luke the physician, who wrote that, is not implying. There are about four cases of would-be followers in these four verses. Luke, who wrote it, is not telling us that within the space of 30 minutes or a hour, Jesus Christ met four would-be followers. These might have happened at different times. But Luke batched them together in writing about it. They might have happened different days. What Luke is doing is telling us here that here are some experiences Jesus Christ had. Here are some of the encounter Christ experienced with would-be followers. So what the brother is about to read is, I believe, about the third or fourth. Let us hear it.
And another also said.
Another also said.
Lord, I will follow thee.
I will follow you. That is, I want to follow you. Now, this is all good. Read.
But let me first go bid them farewell.
May I? This is important. When men and women understand what Christ is offering to us and make up their mind to follow him, there are to be no but.
That's right.
That's a fact. Because, man, the but here implies some condition. The first one, Master, I want to follow you, but let me go and bury my daddy. In other words, I have to get that done first. Now, Jesus Christ said following him is such an awesome privilege you have that even burying your dead daddy should not even come up in the picture. That's it. So there ought to be no but when a man or a woman truly make up his or her mind. Over the years we have had, a person like myself and probably some of you, we have had the experience where men and women, you have met people who really want to become Christian. Their minds fully made up. and they just did what they are to do. Whatever comes, we'll have to push one side. I am thinking right now, many years ago, we have a young lady living right across here. Right across here, living at Sister Reed's home. Sister Reed died. She and this young man, they were living together, boyfriend, girlfriend. And she attended either a worship or a gospel meeting, and she stepped forward. Remember, they were living together. She stepped forward, and she decided she wanted to become a Christian right then and there. It was explained to her that because a person that, at least few of us know that she and her boyfriend live together, they are not married. We call that shacking up. They're living in fornication. So it's explained to her, you cannot be living with your boyfriend and get baptized and go back and live in the same type of life. And she said she understands. And there was no if and but. She said, I want to get baptized. I want to become a Christian. And she became a Christian. And found somewhere else to sleep. And never get involved in that life. Until he decided he have to marry to her. They marry and have been faithful Christian. I'm talking about Celine. That's right. I mean, for umpteen years she has been a faithful Christian for umpteen years. It's like you talk about one track minded. When she stepped forward, don't tell her about boyfriend. She don't care about that. If him want to marry to her for him business, she not going back into that life. We all get it. And it was that determination brought him to Christ. They are still faithful. I never forget about 2, 3, 4 years ago when her husband, we used to call him, well, in fact, his father, Brother Brown, was a member here. Lived to see either 100 or close to 100. But I never forget a few years ago, he was telling. He was a member, both he and his wife, member over the Portmore Church of Christ, where Brother Tom Linson is. And he was telling that is her husband some things he's doing to help a financial project the church is undertaking. He was undertaking something on his own financially, not making that money for himself. He worked with Flo or Digicel, one of them. Flo. He was making the money for himself to give to the church. But all of that come as a result of she walking out. You could give her all the ring made from diamond from South Africa. That meant nothing. She wanted to become a Christian. Brother, but you didn't start finish reading.
But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house.
Well, nothing wrong with that, you know. You know, in other words, I want to follow Christ wherever he goes and preach. Let me just run back home, you know. They might be looking for me and wondering what happened to me. Now, that is reasonable. But listen to Jesus Christ.
And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
You all hear that? Celine, that I've just told you about, she make up her mind to put her hand to the plow. All the things that she left behind would be left behind. She was looking forward. She just wanted to follow Christ. And notice the condition by these prospective converts. The brothers read that as about the fourth one. All of them, the demand that they make seem to be reasonable demand. Go and bury my dead father. Go and bid farewell to, and all of it, those requests seems to be reasonable. But Jesus Christ said, when you take up Christianity, it takes priority over everything. That's verse 62.
Yes, verse 62.
Let us hear St. John chapter 21, verse 15.
So when they are denied, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas.
Start again.
So when they are denied, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him,
Wait. Jesus was with his followers, the apostles. And just out of the blue, Jesus Christ turned to Simon. Remember, Simon was, there were three or four close followers of Christ. Very close confidants of his. When the others were sometime left out. Remember when Jesus Christ was going up into the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus Christ knew that there would be an experience there where he didn't share with all of his followers. He took with him Peter, James, and John. The others were left. Remember, there were other occasions where John, referred to as John the Beloved, used to lean on Jesus' breast. So on this occasion, Jesus Christ, just like out of the blue, Simon, Peter, what happened, brother?
Lovest thou me more than these?
Do you love me more than these? Wait. Jesus, why are you questioning me? I've shown that already, but I want to hear it from you. Wait. Among the purpose, while you and I may not know all the purposes of this question, but among the purpose for Jesus Christ posing this question is for self-probing. You know, in many situations, many of us never examine ourselves. Truly. There are many situations in life where we do not examine ourselves. And question like this is for self-probing. Do you love me more than these? These what? Do you love me more than the big catch of fish you have just experienced? Do you love me more than these fellow apostles, fishermen? Do you love me more than the fishing business? You see, a lot of times we have to ask ourselves these questions. Because daily you and I are being judged. Not only if we love Jesus Christ, but a lot of time, the things, wait, the things that we permit to compete with our Christianity. And Jesus Christ sometimes wish we would examine which one we love more. When the Bible said you cannot serve God and mammon, that's the point. There are too many things that compete. For example, worship. Christian, learn this. When Sunday comes, you know, it is called the Lord's Day. And it is not called the Lord's Day for nothing. It is the day that shows that the Almighty God in Jesus Christ is going to give man victory from the grave. It's the day that Jesus Christ rose victorious from the grave. The great book of Revelation was given on a Sunday. John said, I was in the island of Patmos on the Lord's Day. When the Lord's Day come around for worship, we should permit nothing unless illness. Are things that we have no control over to come between us and worship. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? We permit too many things to compete with Jesus Christ and Christianity. Wait. And many times it is Jesus Christ who lose out. And Christ will take second place to nothing. Do you love me more than these? Those challenges are being posed to us every day. What are you talking about drawing back? I'm yet to get to some other passage on this business of drawing back. I may not get to them this morning. Because right now I want us to run to the passage of Matthew chapter 10. And verse 34 through 39. Jesus Christ takes second place to nothing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 following.
For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother. And the daughter-in-law against her mother.
What did I say? That Jesus Christ makes the demand of Christianity so high, it cannot be made higher. What did you say, Jesus Christ? That I come to set a man at what? Variance?
Against his father.
Did it say variance?
Yes.
The word here have the idea of you're not going to get along. But Jesus Christ, I thought you are all about get alongness.
No.
Not at any price. I come to set that man at variance against his what?
Father.
His father. But Jesus Christ, I thought that we are to obey our mother and father. Yes! We are to obey our mother and father and show them all the respect. But you see, when mommy and daddy conflict, when their demand conflict with Jesus' demand, Jesus Christ is saying without even thinking, you have to put mommy and daddy one side. That's right. So up front, Jesus Christ is teaching his audience, I have come to set a man at variance against his mother and father. Read on, brother.
And a man's foes.
A man's
foes.
Foes are enemy.
Shall be
our opposition shall be they of his own household. Wait, you know, Mr. Mitchell, I thought that Christ and Christianity was here to get people together, oneness and peace and love. Yes, Jesus Christ is for that. But what Jesus Christ is teaching here, when you have to stand up for his truth, if it offend mother, father, husband, wife, sister, brother, Jesus Christ said, don't ever compromise his truth. That's the principle here. Read on, brother.
He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Everybody hear that? Remember a while ago I pointed out that we permit so many things to compete with Christ, Christianity, and the church. Are we all there? That ought not to be. That ought not to be. Jesus Christ will take second place to nothing. Christian must keep this in mind. Read on a little more.
And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
As I've pointed out so often, that you will notice that Jesus Christ takes up the deepest, the strongest, and the most profound of relationships. He did not talk about just simply ordinary friend. He talks about mother and father, children, husband, wife. Read that again now.
He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
And Jesus Christ meant all of that. So what this does to us or for us is that it gives us some food for thought. It gives us reason to, over the next few minutes, hours, days, weeks, to examine ourselves. How much do I really love Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church? What are the things I am putting before Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church? And this can be subtle, you know. It can be subtle. We can be putting dozens of things daily, hourly, before Christ, Christianity, and the church, and it never dawned on us that's what we are doing. So please, be conscious and be honest with yourself. Read on a little more.
And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
If we are not willing to accept the Christian responsibility, the time we spend coming to church and all of that is a waste of time. I have, which we're not going to get to in today's lesson, four to five approach steps that you and I can take to help preserve us to remain with Jesus Christ. And then we will be revisiting not only the passage that was read when the lesson began, that is the passage of Hebrews chapter 10 about I have no pleasure in them that draw back. We're not going to be able to look at these passages today. We won't have time either to look on the passage which let us know that every time a person backslides, lack of faith is involved. I may comment more on that tonight, because I may undertake to share with you at least two or three of the points tonight, where some suggestion. Did you know that a regular, sincere worshiper, by that step, you are taking step to reinforce your faith so that you can remain with Jesus Christ as long as you live? Worship. And I stated that lack of faith is usually one of the reasons men backslide, men and women. Always. But then the person who backslide, and you point that out to him or her, they'll tell, but I still believe in God. I believe in Christ. I still have faith. As I've said, we may comment more on that later. God has no pleasure in them that draw back. We are going to close. Let me hear this passage, brother. Hebrews 11, through 25, 26 or 27. Quick.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Read on.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ.
Stop there. I'm just touching on briefly some of the point that will come up, be tonight or whenever. May I? I'm leaving this with you. Did you know that having a proper sense of value? Did you know that having a proper sense of value helped to preserve your relationship with Christ? Amen. When you reach a point where you know what really is important, what really counts, what really lasts, what really is wealth. A proper sense of value. When you get mixed up with that, all sort of foolishness can pull you away from Jesus Christ. But we'll get into that a little more either later or some other time. Right now, we are encouraging you to give your life to Jesus Christ if you're not a Christian. And if you're a Christian who have grown weak and faithful, part of you is out and part of you is in. Make a decision today, now, to make a full commitment to Jesus Christ. If you're a man or woman who has never become a Christian, Jesus Christ has a plan of salvation to save you and me. In fact, may I? Christ doesn't have a plan where you are saved a particular way and I'm saved another way. No. Every man, every woman must be saved the same way. That's Christ's plan. Right. Every man, every woman must become Christian the very same way. Jesus Christ has one set of conditions. That's what we refer to as God's plan of salvation. It includes, you must hear the gospel of Christ, the good news that he died for you, that he was the Son of God. You must believe in what Christ has done for you and accept your sinful condition. That is, accepting that if you die in the state and condition you are, you are going to end up in the eternal hell. And God does not want you to end up in hell. So you must believe in Jesus Christ. You must make a resolve to give up sin. All the sinful, ungodly, worldly, and Christ-like practices and belief you have, you must give them up. That's what the Bible called repentance. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. Your sins have not yet even been touched. You must confess faith in Christ as the Son of God. Are you a Christian then? No. But then you must take that final step that puts you in Christ. And that is baptism. You must be baptized. You know, Mr. Mitchell, I was baptized, but we sprinkled. You weren't baptized if you were sprinkled. Truly. You did something to become a member of a man-made church. That is always different from doing what Jesus Christ says to get your sins addressed by him. Yes, yes. What you do to become a member of a religious institution made by man is different from what you do to become a Christian, a child of God. Sprinkling this side of the cross of Jesus Christ is not one of the conditions that God placed on you. But he placed baptism as imperative. It is a must. No one this side of the cross of Jesus Christ can be saved unless that man or woman is baptized in Jesus Christ to get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. No man or woman. And today we are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you. We are going to sing a song. We are inviting you, we are appealing to your intelligence, your common sense, your wisdom, to understand that you need Jesus Christ. Your sin situation can be addressed only by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ addressed that through the gospel, obedience to the gospel. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him.